From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled The Third Missionary Journey, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 10. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Lo, I hear the voice of my beloved. He speaks to me. Fair weather is smiling upon the face of the earth, and he would not have me spiritually asleep while nature all around me is waking from her winter's rest. He bids me rise up, and well he may, for I have long enough been lying among the pots of worldliness. He is risen. I am risen in him. Why then should I cleave unto the dust? From lower loves, desires, pursuits, and aspirations, I would rise towards him. He calls me by the sweet title of my love, and counts me fair. This is a good argument for my rising. If he has thus exalted me, and thinks me thus comely, how can I linger in the tents of Kedar, and find congenial associates among the sons of men? He bids me come away. Further and further from everything selfish, groveling, worldly, sinful, he calls me. Yea, from the outwardly religious world which knows him not, and has no sympathy with the mystery of the higher life, he calls me. Come away has no harsh sound in it to my ear. For what is there to hold me in this wilderness of vanity and sin? O my Lord, would that I could come away. But I am taken among the thorns, and cannot escape from them as I would. I would, if it were possible, have neither eyes nor ears nor heart for sin. Thou callest me to thyself by saying, Come away. And this is a melodious call indeed. To come to thee is to come home from exile, to come to land out of the raging storm, to come to rest after long labor, to come to the goal of my desires and the summit of my wishes. But, Lord, how can a stone rise? How can a lump of clay come away from the horrible pit? O, raise me, draw me. Thy grace can do it. Send forth thy Holy Spirit to kindle sacred flames of love in my heart, and I will continue to rise until I leave life and time behind me, and indeed come away.
Stress in voice.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. In verses 23 to 28 of Acts chapter 18, we find the Apostle Paul persevering in the spread of the gospel as he retraces his path across Asia Minor to strengthen and encourage the churches which he had planted during his second missionary journey. The passage introduces us to Apollos, a Jewish believer whom the Bible describes as an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures and fervent in spirit. Although his knowledge of Christ was limited, Apollos preached what he knew of the Lord with great power. He stands as a wonderful example to all believers to give our best efforts for Christ and his kingdom. Chapter 19 introduces us to Paul's second visit to Ephesus and one of the greatest of the New Testament churches. The passage reveals important lessons about the necessity of being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now to continue this message, the third missionary journey, here is Dr. Cairns.
One of the biggest curses of Christian living nowadays is doing things by rote. Doing things because they have to be done. Because it's expected that we do them. Being at the church services because, well, we ought to go. Being at the prayer meeting because we ought to be there. Even worse, not being there when we ought to be there. But where is the old fervency of spirit? Where is the old enthusiasm that once gripped the people of God? My, here we come to a man, and let's say it at this stage, he was not fully instructed. He knew about the Lord Jesus to a certain extent, but he had not been perfectly instructed. He didn't have the knowledge that you and I have today. And yet, with what knowledge he had, he was fervent. And you will notice what it says. I emphasize this in the reading. He spake and taught diligently. He spake and taught accurately. As far as he knew Christ, he preached Christ. Now, he didn't know as much about the Savior as we know, but he knew enough to set his soul ablaze with love and with fervency and with enthusiasm, and he couldn't keep it to himself. Of course, you can only ever preach Christ as far as you know him. You can only ever teach others what you know yourself. And if you ever get to witnessing to other people something that you've learned out of a book, or something that you believe because you mentally assent to it, but you don't know it in experience, my, they'll cotton on very quickly. They'll know it. If I get up to you and preach something that I am not myself in the experience of, then your own heart will witness to that fact and will condemn my experimental ignorance. You can only preach Christ as you know him. And Apollos certainly preached with eager enthusiasm, and that enthusiasm was consecrated to the Lord. Now, there are people here of a, I suppose you could say, an enthusiastic, fervent disposition. Oh, you can get enthusiastic about many things. I wonder, has that enthusiasm ever been laid on the altar for God and say, Lord, I'm going to get enthusiastic about the Lord. I'm going to get enthusiastic about the spreading of the gospel. I want my enthusiasm, I want my energies, I want my abilities to be used for God, not to be dissipated in the follies of this world and its sin. Then we read of his service, how instant he was, as soon as he learned, he spoke. As soon as he learned more perfectly, he spoke more perfectly. As soon as he had touched Ephesus, he wanted to go on into Achaia. He was instant in service. He had enormous energy. That's obvious. Enormous energy. And it was consecrated to the Lord. Now, again, let me say this, especially to you young folk. The Lord has given you health and strength. He's given you boundless energy. I wonder, is it on the altar for God? I wonder, is the strength of your body, the clarity of your mind, I wonder, are those things on the altar for God? I wonder, are you putting your best efforts in for the Lord? Or could it be like so many? The Lord gets the tail end of your time, and the Lord gets the tail end of your abilities, and the Lord gets the tail end of your strength. You give every day to self, whether it's sinful or legitimate activity in which you're engaged. It's not the point at the moment. You give every day to self and to something concerning self-interest. And then the last few minutes, you bow your head and say, God bless me. Go to sleep. Any wonder the church is in the state it's in today? Any wonder? All that God would give to you and to me to be as an apostle. Now then, in chapter 19, we come to Paul's return to Ephesus. I said I'd left out a couple of verses in which he had visited Ephesus very, very briefly. And then he returned as he promised. Now, this is a long chapter, an important chapter, but I'm going to have to outline it for you and leave it for you to study in detail for yourselves. The Ephesian church was one of the greatest of the early churches. I think when you read the epistle to the Ephesians, you'll see just what a great church it was. Wednesday night I was speaking briefly on Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. And when you read how Paul wrote to the Ephesians, you'll see the sort of mature and spiritual people that they were. They didn't have the problems of the Corinthians. They had made a clean break with the world. They didn't have the problems of the Galatians. They were doctrinally straight up and down the line. They were the joy of the apostles' heart. Let me tell you, if I had a church here like the church in Ephesus at this period, it would be the joy of my heart as well. A mighty church. So what we have here at the end of chapter 18 and into chapter 19 of Acts is the record of the events and the ministry which gave birth to one of the greatest churches in the history of the work of God. Now, you will notice in outline form the great events that go to make up that church. First of all, in the first seven verses, there is an emphasis on the fullness of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to come to that in a little more detail in a minute. But that's the first theme with which we're confronted, the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Now, no church that's ever going to be great for God can be built by the activity of man, by the organizational ability of man. No church that's going to be great for God can be built on anything that man does apart from the power of God. That's the first thing. This was a church which was built first on a mighty demonstration of Pentecostal power. The first thing. Oh, that God would burden our hearts to pray for that. This has become, among God's people, a bone of contention. It's wrapped and wrapped and re-wrapped and then wrapped again in the various dirty clouts of man's description. Man uses terminology with which to wrap this theme and then wraps it again, and people fight over the wrapping. When all the time we want to cut through all that nonsense and we want to get down before God and say, God, build a church here by the mighty effusion of the Holy Ghost as on Pentecost or as in Ephesus. Pour out the Holy Ghost in power that will sweep the devil and the minions of hell from out of our way and give us a witness that will bring glory to Jesus Christ. So we've got to be praying for. Let us not stop short of praying for that. The mark of power of the fullness in Scripture is power. Power to witness. Power to establish a work. Power to grow. Power to defeat the devil. Power to do what Joshua did, to go in and take the land that's now in the lap of the devil and see a mighty work done for God. That's the power I'm talking about. Don't let's fight over terms. That's the first mountain peak in the church at Ephesus. My friend, let me say this. Let me say this to you honestly. Until God pours out the Holy Ghost, we're not even beginning, to do a work for God. Then there's a second great mountain peak of church growth here. It's the body of the... Well, the second part is chapter 19, verse 8 to 20. And that is the fidelity of the servants. The fullness of the Spirit, and then the faithfulness or the fidelity of the servants. Men who sell out to God. Men who obey God, no matter what the cost is. Oh, that's involved in building a strong church. That's involved. Let me tell you. And I want to be very, very frank with you. If you think we can build a strong church here and be nice and comfortable, then you'd either better change your opinions or get ready for a very rude awakening. There's a price to be paid for the blessing of God. And you'll see that in the third main section, the fury of Satan. Here in chapter 19, you have the first trades union meeting. And what was it called for? This trades congress was called to get together with big government, although government backed off at the last minute, to crack down on the gospel. The fury of Satan. Now those are the great issues at stake here. And my friend, by these means, the church in Ephesus was built. Now let's look first at the opening section. The Spirit's operation among 12 Ephesian disciples is given in chapter 19, verse 1 to 7. Now, there are three things that must engage your attention. First, the translation of verses 2 and 3. When Paul came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Now, we need to look at the translation of that very carefully. Have ye received the Holy Ghost is, did ye receive the Holy Ghost? The tense is important. It's not the perfect tense as we have it here. It is, did ye receive the Holy Ghost when ye believed? That's the question. Their answer is, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. The language there is exactly the same as used by the Lord Jesus in John 7. And it is simply this: we have not so much as heard whether the Holy Ghost is yet given. Being disciples of John, they had heard of the existence of the Holy Ghost, for John taught that Christ would come after him baptizing with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So they knew that there was such a person. But they hadn't heard whether the Holy Ghost had been given. They had not heard of Pentecost. Now that's the translation. There is no ground here for the modern Pentecostal notion that you get saved and then did you get the Holy Ghost when you get saved. That's not the question at all. You can't get saved without getting the Holy Ghost. If you have not the Spirit, you're not saved. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But then it raises the theme. The theme of these verses is being saved and being filled. Now let me emphasize that. First of all, you should not stop short of really knowing you're saved. It's the first thing. And secondly, I think you can see clearly that as soon as they got saved, they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, in the early church, and this challenges me more and more as I read the New Testament, evidently everyone who received Christ was expected at that same instant to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not the indwelling, but the gift of Acts 1:5 and Acts 1:8. That fullness of power for service. They were expected to receive that. And certainly as soon as these people came to Christ, they were baptized as a public profession of their faith. Paul laid hands on them, and instantaneously the Holy Ghost fell upon them. In other words, Pentecost became not only history, it became reality.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.